If you want to open with me in your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, we're going to begin reading here in verse 6, and we will read through the end of verse 15. As always, I'd like to invite you to come back and join us tonight for our evening service, 5 p.m. Here in the sanctuary. We're going to be beginning the book of Leviticus. I know Leviticus fills you with great terror, but I'm hoping that our study of Leviticus will show that Leviticus is one of the more important books of the Old Testament, and why it's slowly becoming one of my favorites. So please come back and join us tonight for that, 5 p.m. Here we are this morning. We'll begin reading in verse 6. Now we command you, brothers, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness, and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you. Nor did we eat anybody's bread without paying for it, but with toil and labor we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we did not have the right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For when we were with you, we would give you this command: if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busybodies. Such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. If anyone does not obey what we say in this letter, take note of that person and have nothing to do with them, that they might be ashamed. Do not regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for the opportunity that we have to study your word this morning. And we pray, Lord, that as we take a look at this passage from the Apostle Paul, that you would help us to understand it, that you would open it up to us, that you would allow us to apply it to our lives. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we would leave from here changed, transformed with a deeper sense of faith in you, a deeper understanding of what you have done for us, and a deeper understanding of what it is that you are calling us to do in response. We pray this in your name. Amen. As we glance at this passage this morning, we're quite aware of what Paul is saying here in 2 Thessalonians. It's quite simple. If you don't work, you don't eat. Paul says in verse 8 that he set the example, not eating anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor, he says, we work night and day, that we might not be a burden to you. Paul had a right as an apostle to have his provisions taken care of. And yet even then, he did not. But he worked in order to provide for himself. We get what Paul is saying here. Paul is condemning freeloaders. Those who don't pull their own weight, those who are a drain on the system, those who take without giving back. Paul's words resonate with us. They remind us a little bit of the little red hen. You know the story. She finds the grain of wheat, but her friends, the pig, the cat, the mouse, refuse to help when she asks them to plant the grain. Once the grain develops into a stalk of wheat, she again asks them, "Will you help me thresh the wheat?" But again, they refuse to lift a hand. When finally she makes the wheat into dough, again she asks them for help preparing the dough into bread, and again they refuse. And then as the story ends, when the bread is baked, then suddenly the cat, the mouse, and the pig, they want to help eat the bread. But the tables are finally turned. The little red hen says, "Well, you didn't help plant the wheat. You didn't help thresh the wheat. You didn't help knead the dough, so you can't help eat the bread." Instead, the little red hen eats the bread herself. I mean, after all, she did all the work. And in our modern capitalistic society, we applaud the diligence of the little red hen, her hard work. Of course, she shouldn't have to share that bread with other people. I mean, the cat, the mouse, the pig, we all know that they're freeloaders on the system. They didn't do any work. If you don't do any work, you don't eat, says Paul. In fact, if some of you may remember back in the 1980s, they actually turned the little red hen into a presidential election commercial against those lazy people who were trying to take the bread from the poor, hardworking little red hen. You know how you should vote. Obviously, you should vote for the people who let the little red hen keep her own. Because that's what Paul is saying here, right? You don't work, you don't eat. He's standing up for the little red hen. Yes, yay for Paul. Down with the freeloaders. Down with those who are a drain on the system. Down with the welfare state. Why should we help those who do nothing? Why should we help those who are taking advantage of everyone else? Those who are lazy. It's biblical. You don't work, you don't eat. That's the real world. Don't whine about it. Just get a job. Of course, by now, you're probably having one of two reactions. The first might be that you're feeling really uncomfortable with the direction that this sermon is going. You're feeling really uncomfortable because what Paul is saying here doesn't seem to be in accord with Christian charity. It doesn't seem to be in accord with love. It doesn't seem to be in accord with the gospel, where we emphasize that we have done nothing and yet we reap all the benefits of our salvation. Or maybe on the other hand, you're thinking, yes, exactly, those lazy freeloaders. You tell them, Paul, I just knew the Apostle Paul had my political perspective. But in response to both of those ideas, we need to realize that actually, Paul doesn't care about politics. Paul doesn't care about a supposed welfare state. Paul is not interested in capitalistic economics. In fact, Paul doesn't even really care about the little red hen. Because actually, as you look at this passage a little deeper, you realize that Paul is not talking about secular culture at all. Actually, Paul makes it quite clear that his focus is specifically on the church of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 6. Keep away from any brother, he says, who is walking in idleness. Again, verse 13, we hear that some among you walk in idleness. Again, verse 15, don't regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. Paul is not offering a critique on society in this passage. He isn't addressing cultural evils. He isn't addressing the character of the Thessalonican workforce. He's addressing what's going on within the Thessalonian church. He's addressing what's going on among the people of God. Paul is talking to brothers, to some among you, he says. Now, some might take Paul's words and apply them to secular economics or to American society. Many have tried using that passage there, don't work. If you don't work, you don't eat. And yet, applying those words outside of the church are trying to make Paul say something that Paul's not actually saying. This is not a passage that should be applied in favor or against secular government programs because Paul's not political. Paul doesn't care about that. He's not addressing what's going on out there. Paul is very much focused on what's going on in here. Paul is addressing an internal problem in the church. He's addressing the spiritual state of the church and a principle that exists within the church. He includes these words at the end of his book because he's come to understand that there are some within the church in Thessalonica who are walking in idleness. The Apostle Paul, by his authority, is saying to the Thessalonians, wake up. Wake up, people. Wake up, church. This is not right. You need to do something about this. This needs to be dealt with, not out there. It needs to be dealt with within these walls. In fact, Paul takes this concern so seriously that he says there in verse 14, if anyone does not obey what we say in this letter, take no note of that person. Have nothing to do with him, that he might be ashamed. I was really talking about the process of church discipline here, calling upon the church to warn this wayward brother, this wayward sister, calling upon the church to cast them out, to have nothing to do with them, that they might be called to repentance. This is serious. This is very serious. Paul is saying you as a church can't ignore this. You can't overlook this, and instead you have to address it. You have to act. And since we're part of the church, Paul is talking to us this morning. We're the focus of what Paul is saying. We might look at these words and immediately we start thinking of those people that aren't doing anything out there who are freeloaders, but we must realize that Paul is not speaking about them. He's speaking to us. He's speaking to the church. Because not only do we read this as Paul's address of those out there, we also assume that Paul is simply speaking of laziness. Of people not working, and though Paul is saying to the modern church, y'all just need to get a job. But that also is not the case, because Paul is not really addressing laziness per se in this passage. Instead, look at verse 6, he says, keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness. That word idleness, it's really an unfortunate translation in the ESV and the NIV, because it makes it sound as if the person that Paul is speaking about is doing nothing. That they're sitting around twiddling their thumbs when they should be working. That they're being idle. But as we have already seen, as we mentioned actually back in 1 Thessalonians, this word idle actually has to do with being disorderly, being out of step. The King James Version has a much better translation. It translates as those who have a disorderly life. Or the New American Standard, an unruly life. The picture, the word that is used here is of a group of soldiers marching in a line, but one of those soldiers is out of line with the rest of them, not in step with the rest of them. They're not following what everyone else is following. And so Paul clearly says this when he says in verse 6, they are not walking in accord with the traditions that you received from us. This is what they're out of accord with. They're not following the traditions of the apostles. And this is really the issue that Paul wants to deal with. This person here is out of line with his own teaching. They aren't doing what Paul has instructed them to do. Paul said, march. This person skipped. Paul said, go that way. And they instead went that way. This person's not going in the same direction. They don't have the same mind as the rest of the church. They're not on board with the church's mission. And as Paul goes on in verse 7 to speak of the example that he and Silas and Timothy left, he says, we were not idle. Same word, not out of step, not out of line, not disorderly or unruly. We practiced, he says, the apostolic preaching that we taught. Then he goes on there in verse 8, he says, nor did we eat anyone else's bread without paying for it. This is typically where we get that idea that Paul is condemning laziness. But Paul does not say that idleness is the same as eating, or is eating somebody else's bread without paying for it. Paul uses the word nor, which is equivalent to and not also that. That also is not taking place. It's connecting two words that have a similar idea, but are not necessarily the same. You might remember back in Matthew, Jesus made that famous statement about storing up treasures where moth nor rust can destroy. Jesus wasn't saying that moth and rust were the same thing. He was linking them together. They're similar because of their destructive power. And so that's what Paul is doing here. He is linking two ideas that are very similar. Idleness, this being out of step, is not the same as laziness, the way that we use those two English words, but they're parallel ideas. They're parallel as ways in which someone does not actually follow the tradition of the apostles. These people that Paul is condemning are not actually contributing anything to the church. They're actually taking stuff from the church. They're out of accord with the mission of the church, not helping the church to move forward to the glory of God, not seeking to build up the kingdom of God. And then parallel to that idea, but not identical with it, they're then taking food from the church, from the Thessalonican church. They're not contributing anything, they're just taking. These people who have contributed nothing still expect all the benefits of being in the church. They are idle. They're out of step with the church. They're out of step with the church's mission. The church says, we want to do this. And this person says, no, I want to do that. And yet they still think, well, the church should still pay, you know, should provide for me. The church should still give me food. The church should still be the church to me, even though I'm not going to be a church member to the church. They're idle, and then they're also taking from the church. Contributed nothing, still wanting the benefits. They aren't helping. They're just dragging the church down. And yet Paul clarifies in verse 11 that being without a job is not just laziness, because these people who are taking from the church are actually quite busy. They're very busy. Paul says they're being a busybody. Verse 11 there, it's actually a play on words in the Greek. The word for working in Greek is ergodzomen. You might recognize that word for work at the beginning of that ergodzomen. We use that word erg in ergonomics when we talk about how something is beneficial for work, or even in energy. We still use that erg part to mean work. And so Paul says they aren't working ergodzomen, they are peri ergodzomen. That prefix peri means about or around. We often use it in medical terminology, periodontal, having to do with around the teeth, or pericardium, around the heart, or periscope, to look around. These people aren't working because they're too worried about what's going on around them. They're not ergodzomen, they're peri-ergodzomen. All they care about is the peri. All they care about is what's going on around. And so Greek authors from the time of Xenophon have used this word to describe busybodies, those who stick their noses where they don't go, where they don't belong. They're so worried about what everybody else is doing that they seem to fail to notice the fact that they're not doing anything. They're not idle in the sense that we think of it in English. They're out of step with the mission of the church because all they care about is everybody else. They're working. They're just working at the wrong thing. They're working at everybody else's business. And so the picture that Paul paints of these individuals who are disorderly, who are out of step with everyone else, who aren't following the tradition of Paul, they aren't just lazy bums who are sitting around doing nothing. They're busybodies who are extremely busy, but are busy worrying about everybody else, so that they aren't actually working anything productive themselves. In another of Paul's epistles, the accusation is made specifically against young widows who are busybodies and are not working. But here, in this passage, Paul is clearly focused, it seems, on men, because he keeps saying, brothers. Brothers, these men are freeloaders in the sense that they don't actually contribute anything to the kingdom. They don't contribute anything to the church. In fact, they seem to be disrupting the church by being busybodies, and yet at the same time, they think that the church should provide for them. They were too busy worrying about everybody else's business to actually earn something, to have a living, to have food to share, and instead they expect the church then is going to sponsor them so that they can continue their busybodiness. They're too focused on what everyone else is doing to have been productive on their own. And so this is what Paul is concerned about, not the pros and cons of the welfare state, but about those in Jesus Christ who create disorder, who drag the church down by not contributing anything, but have to be supported because they're so busy sticking their noses into everybody else's business to actually have produced something to share. And so Paul, in verses 7 through 10, is not trying to present an economic principle or make a political statement. He's simply demonstrating by his own example when he was among the Thessalonians that he did not become a burden to them. He did not become a burden to the Thessalonians. He worked hard to make sure that his presence as an apostle did not hold the church back, but actually aided them, actually helped them, despite the fact that he was entitled to that support as a minister of the gospel. He went out of his way. Perhaps Paul even got a job, if that's what he means by toil and labor, night and day there in verse 8, so as to support the church moving forward. But these other brothers, these ones who have prompted this outburst from Paul, they take many benefits of the church, even food, but don't actually do anything for the church. And so this is the context that Paul is speaking of when he says in verse 12, we command and encourage those in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and earn their own living. Paul isn't just saying y'all need to get a job. He isn't just saying stop being lazy. Instead, he's presenting the principle that everyone in the church should be contributing to the work of the church. Paul says in Ephesians 4, speaking about thieves, which really isn't all that different from what these men are doing here, let him do honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Same seems to be seen in 2 Corinthians 9, which I read earlier. Later on in that passage, he says, God will provide your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You'll be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. This is what Paul is saying. Everyone should be working hard to contribute, should be working hard in order to share with the church. I think Paul's take on the little red hen would be quite different than the way that we often understand the story. Yes, Paul would condemn the laziness of the cat and the mouse and the pig who contributed nothing and wanted all the benefits. And yet, at the same time, I think Paul would also have some words for the little red hen. Yes, she did her work quietly. Yes, she earned her own living, but she forgot here verse 13 in chapter 3. Do not grow weary, Paul says, in doing good. Do not grow weary in doing good. The little red hen, she understood all that Paul said in terms of the seriousness of being a burden to the church. She calls for the discipline to the point of expulsion and avoidance of those people who continue in such a pattern, verse 14. But she should also understand that part of her working is not just for herself. Part of our working is not just for ourselves, but that we might have something to share. Because really, that's part of the gospel. That God in His grace has given us such a great salvation, one that we didn't work for, and so we are called then to share God's grace with others. To share with others, to show that love for others. We're called to work so that we might have something to offer to the church of Jesus Christ. Which I think causes this passage then to be viewed in a completely different perspective. Paul is challenging us within the church to consider the question, are we contributing to the work of the church, or are we just enjoying its benefits? Are we contributing to the work of the church, or are we just enjoying the benefits? Sadly, in our day and age, whenever we talk about contributing to the work of the church, everyone automatically assumes that we're talking about putting money in the offering plate. That seems to be the common assumption. And in some ways, that's not out of keeping necessarily with the point of this passage. Financially support your church. That's a decent application of this. But Paul's words run far deeper than any of that. Paul's words run deeper when he says, do not grow weary in doing good. Don't grow weary. Don't grow tired. Don't give up doing good. I think there's a tendency in each and every one of us, it's not just in certain people, it's in all of us, where we get to that point that we sit back and we say, I've contributed enough. I've given enough of my time. I've given enough of my energy. I've taught Sunday school. I've served on this and that committee. Now it's time for someone else to serve me. And you can especially see here why a group of people in Thessalonica would think that. Look, I keep working hard to contribute, and all of these freeloaders who aren't doing anything keep taking what I contribute. Enough. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to help anymore. I'm not just going to give away to those people. I'm just going to stop. That's a very jaded perspective, but a very real perspective, and one that is tempting for all of us. All I do is give. Enough. I'm not going to give anymore. I think Paul's words are very well placed here. Don't grow weary in doing good. Don't buy into the myth that somehow you've done enough and now you can just become a consumer in the Church of Christ. I think we're all faced with that temptation to become consumers on Sunday mornings, to get what we think we need without ever considering anybody else's needs, to get what we want without seeing that everybody else gets what would build them up in Christ. Every one of us, if we aren't careful, falls into that trap of taking the benefits of everybody else sharing with us without even considering what we could do to serve others. And so what Paul is describing in these verses is still a potential pitfall, a potential danger, even in the church today. We all run the risk of ceasing to serve, but still expecting to be served, of contributing nothing but expecting the church to meet our needs. And what's worse, we all face the danger of becoming armchair quarterbacks, backseat drivers, busybodies, to use Paul's words, of doing nothing to help the church progress, nothing to help the kingdom move forward, but we're full of opinions about how everybody else should be helping to move the kingdom forward. I was on a missions trip several years ago to El Salvador. We divided ourselves into two construction teams. We had team rock pick, which you guessed it, pick rocks all day, and then we were high schoolers. We weren't terribly creative when it came to our team names. But we had Team Rock Pick that picked rocks, and we had Team Wheels a Lot that was equipped with wheelbarrows that would wheel the rocks, dump them, and then bring back sand. And yet by the end of the week, we also added a third team. We called them, of course not to their faces, we called them Team Drinks a Lot. This was the team of three older female chaperones that sat and drank from their water bottles all day while pointing out all the things that had been missed by the other two construction teams. That got really old really fast. But that's the temptation for you and I. The temptation is to sit back and to point out how everybody else should be doing something, but not doing anything ourselves. Not even asking ourselves, how am I going to contribute to the Church of Jesus Christ? Paul says here, work. And we all mentally check that off. Yep, I've got a job. Check. Got that taken care of. Church doesn't pay for my meals, so I'm fine. I've medical emergencies, other things come up. That's different. But, you know, I'm not relying on the church for my sustenance, so that's fine. This passage doesn't apply to me. When instead, if we think about what Paul is really asking us here, we should seriously consider, what are we doing for the Church of Christ? What are we doing to contribute to the kingdom of God? Are we regularly praying for the needs of the church? Are we just expecting everybody else to pray for our needs? Are we finding simple ways to serve? Handing out bulletins to offering to wash the coffee cups on Sunday morning? Or are we just glad somebody else is taking care of it? Are we seeking to serve others, to be involved in their lives, helping with meals for the sick, practicing hospitality, visiting shut-ins? I mean, there is enough work to be done in the church to keep us all more than busy. It's not as though we're going to run out of stuff to do around here. But do we even think about it? Do we even think about what needs done? Or is the church simply where we go to consume on Sunday mornings, to consume religious goods and services? In some cases, I think we're tempted to think that tossing our tithe check into the offering plate is all that is needed. But I think what Paul is calling for is far much more than that, of being involved in the service of the church in order to move the church forward. I hope as we think about these words this morning, we'll see the passage is not just supposed to speak about them, about those lazy people out there, but instead to speak to us, those within the body of Christ, and to challenge us in our own walk to keep in step with the tradition of the apostles, to keep in step with working to serve the church. I recently ran into an older retired couple from another church. They just retired. And I asked them what they most looked forward to in being retired. Their immediate response was, serving the church. Because now I'll have time to do whatever needs to be done. That should really be our perspective. That's the attitude that we should have, not seeking to be served, but striving to serve. Oh, I wish that we would hear the words of the Apostle Paul and ask ourselves, am I striving to fulfill even my membership vows to support the church in its worship and work? Am I involved in the service of the church? Am I seeking to build up the church for the glory of God? Am I seeking to be used by God within this community of faith to expand the kingdom of God? Or am I just taking? For those of us who are giving, Paul says, don't be weary in doing good. Instead, respond in action. Respond continuing to serve, that we might continue to be able to share with others, to build up one another, to encourage one another, that together we might move the Church of Jesus Christ forward. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we confess that many times we make it all about us. We're only concerned about ourselves, about our needs, about our wants. In many ways we act just like the people there in Thessalonica. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray that you would forgive us and that you would cause us to recognize what you have done for us and then to respond in kind. That we would not just be consumers, but that we would be seeking to serve you and serve your kingdom. For it's in you we pray. Amen. As we respond and as we prepare for our time of communion, if you would take out your hymnals and open to number 247, O Sacred Head Now Wounded, please stand.
Scornfully sorry.